All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. It's been a little while since I've been back on the mic. Good to be joining you. Thank you, everyone, for showing up for this weekend's training course, who showed up. We, I think, explored about as much as you possibly can the proper ways of clearing rooms and getting used to that close quarters battle. Also went over a lot of patrolling techniques and tactics. Let pretty much anyone who had night vision throw on night vision. We went on a little bit more than an hour patrol, a walk, and people got to see just how useful but yet still difficult it is to use MVGs in an everyday setting. You got to get out there and train. With the CQB stuff that we were doing, you know, everyone did great. There was a huge, huge leap from the first day to the last day. And what I've trained a lot of classes, I've taught a lot of people this so far, is that it doesn't take a lot for you to become proficient at this. You just have to really put in the time and effort. And, you know, I would say for the most part that when everyone left, they were much more confident in their skills to be able to protect themselves, their loved ones, protect their home. And moving forward, continuing on with your training, adding in medical training and other different types of training, you will eventually form the complete package, but it's not going to happen in months. It may not happen in years, but to continuously prepare, continuously train, it only helps you in the long run. It is an investment. You are your own best investment. So we have to understand that time is of the essence. Time is getting shorter. The violence is only increasing. The potentiality of attacks on America are definitely increasing. The crime is increasing. I was just talking with one of my guys the other day who is still in DHS, and he said, you know, looks like this year is going to be one heck of a deployment year. Too bad you're not here. You could make a lot of money. Because they, too, also know that the amount of violence coming for 2024 is probably going to be unprecedented. If it's not, that's great. I don't want it. But you better be ready for it. You know, there's a lot of things going on right now. A lot of pressure with the Palestinian-Israeli war. Even have Israeli members of their parliament who are demanding that nations in the West, to mainly include the United States, take Palestinian refugees. I think America should be done with taking in refugees for a while, right? Until we can finally sort our own problems out, until the families that are here in America can no longer say that they live paycheck to paycheck. I don't think the American Congress should even look at anyone else saying, accept our refugees. We are so in the hole when it comes to being in debt that your children's children are born almost, I think at that point in time, probably close to $500,000 in debt by the time they're born. And the money, it doesn't run out because they always print as much as they want. But what it does is it loses its value, and people are losing value already in America. People are losing hope in America. That hope, I think people place in their personal investments and they don't place it in Jesus. People place those investments and hopes and things of this world that can be easily manipulated and easily destroyed. Not saying that investing is wrong. You should invest, but you should also invest in yourself, in your skills. You should develop the best amount of skills possible, and you should invest in your spiritual interests with the Lord. My mind is melted from working this entire weekend. We did about 10 and a half to 12 hour days every day. Coming up, we have a December 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th course. Much like this course where we worked on CQB tactics inside the Shoot House, which is awesome with our Shoot House. We never give the same look. We always have different formations of the Shoot House. So if you come to one of our classes, you'll never come to the same Shoot House twice. That's the goal. This next class, we've already got four people signed up. We need at least 10 people. This is going to be quite a immersive class. This is going to be one of those classes where you're probably going to be eating out of your, you know, your preparation meals, your Mountain House, your MRE based meals, because we're going to be doing a lot of patrolling. We're going to be doing patrolling tactics. It's something I've rattled about for a while, if whether or not I wanted to teach this. And I think it's just come down to the time that this is a skill that I'm quite intimately trained up on. And I think the civilian populace needs to understand it. Much like all the guys in this last class, they didn't know it was going to be so heavy in this class. And not one person complained. In fact, they said that continuing forward in all of our class, we should definitely keep patrolling, patrol-based operations inserted into it. We went over vehicle takedowns, how to shoot around a vehicle. Also showed a few little techniques of how to see through even the darkest of tents. You can catch a lot of those little skills, those little things that I've picked up along the way by coming to one of our courses. We had set up the ability for a live fire range. And this is the second or third class now that has said, when we gave them the option, do you want to go to a live fire range now, or do you want to continue to work the tactics in the Shoot House? Unanimously, everyone said we need to continue to work the Shoot House. They see the importance in it. They see the challenge there is, and then they start to see the improvement, and they want to continue to work the reps. So bravo to all of you who showed up. For all of you who don't have training, if you need training, you can contact me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. This next set of training is going to be back at Ready Made Resources, Teleco Plains, Tennessee. So you can go to readymaderesources.com at the top. There will be a place to sign up for the training. I implore you, friends, it's a good investment. We will teach you life-saving skills that you will most likely end up using. A lot of people out there, they sell you gadgets. They sell you gizmos. I sell you skills. I show you what I've learned in 15 years, and I try to break it down Barney style for you to the simplest of all capabilities. And I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep this up, all right? I'm going to continue to push forward and train people to the best of my ability. We're trying to work on getting the business license for the training class set up, and then also its own dedicated website so that you can go everything through a portal on that website. But, you know, at this last class, we had 16 people that were scheduled to show up. I believe 10 people showed up, 11 people maybe. So sorry for you guys and gal who couldn't make it. Hope to see you at the next course. While I was in the Amazon, with Timothy Alvarino. And we were out there, you know, searching for whatever nefariousness was lurking in the primary jungle of the Amazon. There was a big active shooter that was going on. It seems like it's nonstop. There's always something. Just as soon as the news starts to quiet down, an active shooter starts up. I can't explain why this happens at the frequency that it does. But with Christopher Wray, the head of the FBI, who is pretty much assuring us that the violence is going to continue, the violence is going to get worse, and we will have, most likely, we will have terror attacks. We know that those terror attacks, currently, one of the objectives is the national electric grid system. Now, the one thing that bothers me, worries me the most, is when the grid goes down. So I know some of you love to have these conversations and you love to hear these conversations on the podcast. I'm not too big on trying to scare people. I really just want to kind of equip people to, you know, better take care of themselves and their families. But let me talk to you about some scenarios here. Realistic scenarios that I've known for well over a decade. The grid. If the grid goes down, you can bet your bottom dollar the police are not showing up. Not for a while, not in the capacity that you think. The military is not showing up. You're going to be on your own. I don't know how the grocery store is going to stay open. I don't know how the gas stations are going to stay open. I don't know what your money is going to be able to be used for. And I don't know how you're going to get gas into your gas tank. But I know that's two things we all need. I don't know how electricity will be supplied to your house if they can get parts of the grid back on. I don't know if that'll happen. I don't know if you have a generator, and I don't know if you know how to use a generator. When was the last time you used it? If your generator breaks, how are you going to fix it? If you got a secondary or tertiary electrical power source. I don't know how much gas or diesel or you know, whatever fuel you need stored up. But I can promise you this. Be it EMP, be it a cyber hack, which is what I think is the most likely of scenarios. I always think an EMP is actually really low on the scale, but that doesn't mean it can't happen. I just think that with all of our enemies, our frenemies around the world, it seems like most likely we're going to get hit by cyber crime. So if that is the scale, then you can be sure to bet that not only will the terror cells that are planted here that have been waiting for years, not only will they be activated, but so will every psycho who's just waiting for the opportunity, waiting. Your next door neighbor you never knew, right? The mob down the street, your local cult that everyone laughs about, the witches' covens who need fresh blood, the cartels, the extremists, the racist gangs, you name it, the equal opportunity face peeler. They will all come out to play. If you don't have training on that day, things may not go the way you want it to. And I will tell you that hope is not a good plan. I hope the criminals won't kick in the door. I hope after they've kicked in the door that they only take what they need. I hope they're the good kind of criminals that don't want to sexually assault my wife or my children or myself or torture anyone in my family or murder us for some occultic reason or take us as slaves. Many of you may be sitting back and laughing at that. People right now around the world with the power on are experiencing that. There is no depth to human depravity. Every time you think a man couldn't get lower, he'll surprise you. So I always fall back on this. We had many of these philosophical-like conversations this weekend with the guys who showed up for the training. Many questions were asked of me, things typically that we wouldn't talk about on air, because maybe my brutality would shock some of you. But when that time comes, when you're presented with a volatile situation, a violent situation, and you're facing down evil, you cannot hesitate. You cannot show mercy. You cannot show empathy. It does not mean being cruel as they would to you. But a rabid dog just must be put down. One of the problems we have in America right now is instead of putting down the rabid dogs, we make an even bigger playground for them to all go and associate themselves better with. That's all our prisons are. Oh, and by the way, when the power goes down, what do you think happens to the prisons? Do you think they kill all the inmates, or do you think they let them go? Do you think they let them go, or do you think someone comes along the way and recruits said inmates? Assures them the world, promises them anything they want for cooperation. So what Russia does works for them, doesn't it? When we talk about these dangerous scenarios, you have to get outside of your comfort zone. You know, we had a gentleman who was at our course this weekend. Good guy. Very good guy. But even though we're using airsoft guns, and even though we're using role players, no real bad guys, no real guns, still, multiple men, multiple grown men, you could tell had problems with hesitation. They had problems with putting themselves in the scenario of having to kill another human being. And I'll tell you what I told them. You have no idea what a grown man can do to another grown man. You have no idea how violent, how vile, how detestable, how evil a grown man who sees the opportunity to enforce his will upon another, to take advantage of weakness. You have no idea what they would do, but I'll tell you what they could do. They could do whatever they want to you, should you give them the opportunity. Ladies, I implore you to get trained. We've had multiple women come to this training. After this last class, we had a few wives out there who they themselves said, you know, the next class you do, we're coming. We want this training. I implore couples to get trained together. I say that because your backup is your spouse. If the husband goes to see what bumped in the night and the wife goes to stand guard over the children, which one of you feels safe with a gun in your hands? Which one of you understands the tactics of using cover and concealment, working the angles, understanding when to shoot, when to rev up the engine, when to rev down, how to think, how to plan, how to manipulate someone into a position of weakness while you manipulate yourself into a position of dominance. This is something that I showed every single man at this class. You're presented with a bad guy. You use your commanding voice, not a whisper. It's not a conversation. We don't have conversations with criminals. We give commands. And at that extent, if we give commands and they are not listening, then you're presented with only a few choices. The main goal is to survive. So if you have the ability, you exit. You can't de-escalate when someone has already broken into your home. But what you can do is you can try to move to a better position. If needing be, you move outside of the house, right? Or there's the other option. If they won't follow commands, you're forced to do what some would be considering the unthinkable. Pulling the trigger. Ending another human being's life. The best option is if you're presented with an assailant, a subject, someone who has violated your privacy, who has broken into your home. Heaven forbid you don't have the castle doctrine in your state. But if you pull a gun on somebody and you say hands up, you better make sure that they understand that you mean it. Put your hands up or I will shoot you. If they do not believe it, and you hesitate, or worse, and I had to teach this over and over again this weekend, or you bluff, put your hands up or I'll shoot. I will shoot you. I will shoot you if you don't put your hands. Stop moving or I will shoot you. If you keep saying that, I will this, I will that, and they continue to put left foot in front of right foot, and they continue to move forward towards you, then they don't believe you. And if they don't believe you and you have not shot them, because remember, you have been saying it for the last minute or so multiple times that you would, then they understand that you probably aren't going to do it. And so they formulate a plan. How close can I get to this person? How much of a bluff am I looking at? And they will formulate a plan. Most likely, they'll try to go for your gun. After that, typically, the fight goes to the ground. I hope you know grappling. Once that fight goes to the ground, if they get a hold of your weapon, what do you think they're going to do with it? Give it back to you? Try again? If you have someone in a position of disadvantage, it is very hard for them to make any sudden movements that would put you at any higher risk. For example, a man walks through the door. I put my gun on him. I tell him, hands up, or I will shoot you. Now I have to decide, if he is cooperating, what am I going to do with him? Do I have the time to pull out my phone, call the police? Okay. Hello, police. I have a strange man who's broken into my home. I need an officer present. And the police say, will do. He'll be there in about 20 minutes. What are you going to do? What are your options? I'm telling you, friends, that it's as simple as telling your children what to do. It's just that most of you have never been put into this environment. This is where our specialty lies in. We teach you how to control people at gunpoint. But you got to be believable. So I got a man at gunpoint. I tell him to raise his hands. Raise your hands or I will shoot you in the face. Hands are raised. Eyes are about this big around and he gets it. I mean business. Now I want to put him in a position of disadvantage. First off, does he have a gun on him? Do I know? Do I see a weapon on his person? Here's one thing that you can do. You can tell him. Place your left hand on top of your head. Take your right hand. Grab the shirt in front of your stomach. If you move your hand to your hips, or if you grab a weapon, I'm going to shoot you. Now pull your shirt up as high as possible. Pull your shirt up, grabbing your clothing. Pull your shirt up to underneath your chin. And then slowly turn around. If you move, if you run, I will shoot you. Slowly turn around. What am I doing? I am telling him to pull up his clothing so that I can see his waistline, because 99% of all bad people carry guns and knives in their pockets or in their belts. So I make him turn around. If there's no weapon present, which would be very strange for breaking and entering, if there's no weapon present, I would have him continue to turn around, face me. Take your other hand, put it on top of your head, interlock your fingers, interlock fingers. Put your hands on top of your head and interlock your fingers. Face away from me. I would have them turn around, and wherever the closest corner or closest wall is, I would tell them to move forward towards the wall. This is all situation dictating that you have the perfect angle on them, by the way. You're probably going to be trying to move. By the way, while I am positioning this person into a position of weakness, where am I? Am I 2 feet away, 3 feet away, 4 feet away, 5 feet away? I am as far away as I physically can be to keep proper eyes on the subject, because most likely if I have a gun on me, most likely the bullet will outrun me to the person. So why do I need to be close? This is one thing that we saw everyone do. They got sucked into the situation. They got sucked into the point where our role player, our other instructor, could easily grab them, take them down to the ground. Almost every single one of them, every single time. As a man, you naturally want to approach another man. It's like two roosters fighting. It is very common for men to bump chests, to get face to face, to talk trash. We don't talk to criminals. We don't have conversations with criminals. We give commands. So the thing that you can do next, let's say everything is going smooth, everything is going perfect. I would have that person place his elbows and his head against the wall. Once his elbows and his head is against the wall with his fingers interlocked on the back of his head, have them kick their feet out towards you so that they are leaning now against the wall, feet away from the wall, and then have them spread their feet. and then tell them to spread their feet again. And then tell them, spread your feet again, to the point that they're doing the standing splits, leaned against the wall, and you can keep them there in that position with your gun on them for as long as you physically can, or for as long as they will stay. What this does is this gives me the ability to take them out of the ability to sprint towards me, to grab something to be used as a weapon. It gives me time to think. It gives me time to react. One of the things that I see with a lot of firearms training and all these other really cool, very important training that is going on, and go to those classes, go to those good firearm classes. One of the things that people don't get taught, that we get taught in law enforcement, especially even working in prisons, is how to use our voice and to give commands and to put people into positions that we want them to, so that we can give ourselves reaction time. We can think, we can formulate the next steps in our plan. And remember, while you're giving commands, always assume that there's two people in your house, not just one. So don't put yourself right in front of doors. Put yourself in a position where you can fight out of if need be, which means not right against the wall and not into a corner. But I like the position of dominance of being closer to the center of the room. Now, situation dictates, all right? You may have a bunch of trash everywhere, a bunch of debris, obstacles like furniture. So you need to put yourself in a position where if you need to move forward, rear, left, or right, you're not going to trip over stuff. But as you move, remember to move heel, toe. Everyone learned that this weekend, moving heel, toe. Because what happens when you move heel, toe is that your feet are nothing more than extrasensory objects that are feeling the ground underneath you. If the ground is not uniform, if there are toys on the ground, debris on the ground, if you're outside and the ground is at an inclination or a declination, your feet are going to be the first thing to tell your brain, and your brain's going to go, oh no, I can't fight uphill, or oh no, I need to be careful moving downhill. So from there, we got a person at a position of disadvantage, leaned against that wall. Do you go in and search that person any further? I'll tell you that if you don't know what you're doing, be very cautious doing it. But I will teach you real quick two or three different methods of putting people into an even greater position of disadvantage or position of weakness. One of the ways that I taught people this weekend was you can teach them to lay down on the ground. Now, this is called prone, all right? Proning someone out. Prone means to lay your whole body on the ground. If I prone someone out to the ground, where is my gun pointed? I promise you my gun is pointed right at your face. And you're going to know that I'm going to pull the trigger if you do anything shady. So from there, you can tell them, put their hands out like an airplane. Everybody knows how to make their hands and arms look like an airplane because they've done it since they were a kid. So when giving commands, be clear, concise, precise. You want to give loud commands because not only am I putting this into the bad guy's mind that I am in charge, but any electronic devices that are recording the interior of your house or exterior of your house, anyone that may be recording the incident can also hear you giving clear commands, which means if that person then decides not to listen to your commands, and this goes forward onto court, you got a lot of backup because you were given clear, precise commands that are easily understood, and you gave the person time to get into that position. Okay, so let's take the person and prone them out. Guy walks into my house. I see him. I have my gun drawn. I say, hands up. Let me see your hands. Interlock your hands. Put them on the back of your head. Now I'm going to give him a once over. I can tell him to turn around. I'll give him another once over. I viewed the front of him. from face to ankles. Turn around from the back of the head to the back of the feet. What am I looking for? I'm looking for obtrusions. I'm looking for bulges in the pockets, bulges in the waistline where weapons potentially could be. I have them turn back around again. Now I want to see that waistline. Remember what we said a while ago? Have them take one hand off their head, raise their shirt towards their face, slowly turn around. I want to once again double check the waistline. Okay, now that's done. Have them turn and face you. Lay yourself down on the ground. You tell them, lay down, face down, on the ground. From there, put your hands out like an airplane. What am I doing once again? If there are any weapons on this person, I want his hands away from those places as much as possible. Hands are what hold weapons and are what kill people. So I want control of the hands. Now I tell them, hands on top of your head, interlock your fingers. Why do I say interlock your fingers? I want that to happen because it just gives me enough time once the fingers are interlocked that if you need to rip your hands out and try and grab something, it just gives me another extra millisecond of reaction time, putting people at a position of disadvantage. All right, they're laid down on the ground. Hands on top of the head. Fingers are interlocked. If they're facing me, and I don't want them to face me because, let's say, one of the scenarios, the subject had a pistol on his right hip. I need to take charge of that weapon. You're in my house. Your body now belongs to me. And everything on your body now belongs to me. So, how do I get this weapon? I can have them turn completely around and not face me. I can have them turn completely around, put their face against the wall, crawl towards the wall, interlocking their fingers, putting hands on back of their head, face against the wall. If I can position myself so that I can see the side of their hip where the weapon is on that I need to take off their person, do I want their legs just dangling out? Have you seen what these guys with multiple years of grappling and jiu-jitsu can do with just their legs? I want control of their entire person. So one of the things that we teach people is to take your ankles, cross your ankles, and now bring your ankles up to your rear. Once they bring their ankles up to the rear, I want to approach them from behind. I'm going to put my knee right in between their ankles and press down on their legs, down into their lower back, so that if that person moves at all in any way, I have a reactionary time based off the movement of their body that I can then plan immediately. What are my next steps? Do I pounce on top of this person, try to maintain control of them? Do I spring off of them and try to gain distance from them? If I'm gaining distance from them, are they trying to attempt to grab the weapon that I am trying to grab? If so, once weapon gets pointed at you, what do we do, guys? So let's say everything is going great, and I can pull now that weapon off their right hip or left hip. I'm making sure that my gun is pointed right at them, and they know it. I will tell them, I'm going to take this gun off of you. If you move, you will die. Do not move. I did not ask them if they understood. I did not ask them, please. I told them, because we don't have conversations with criminals, we give commands. From there, taking the pistol off the hip, yank it out of the holster, however it is that you have to, I would then secure said pistol either in one of my pockets or continue to keep it in my support hand when shooting, if you're right-handed, Your right hand is your strong hand. Your left hand is your support hand, or sometimes also known as the weak hand. So the hand that is not the one that needs to fire the gun, that primary hand, is what I use everything else for. If I fall, that's the hand that catches me. If I'm moving through a house, this is the hand I use to manipulate objects out of my way or to grab things, right? I know this seems like common sense to you, but for many, for most, they just don't know because they've never been put in that situation. And people are very stiff. They're very stiff. They're very robotic, and they don't understand how to flow through a situation, which builds a lot of hesitation at times, which is what we're trying to curb. Hesitation is what kills most police officers. I want to say that from there, you could hold a person for a period of time until law enforcement arrives, and hopefully they arrive and everything goes perfectly. They arrest the bad guy and he's out of your house. Yay, you. You're a hero. You didn't have to hurt anybody that day. But let me introduce to you the wild card. The wild card is two things. One, the subject who broke into your house sees the weakness in you, hears the hesitation in your voice, and sees the tears in your eyes because you're scared. You don't know what to do. You've never been in this situation. You never had training on it. And they have. They've burglarized many homes, probably walked in and out of prison many times, been trained by seasoned veteran criminals, maybe even have violently assaulted people before, and are very predatory and are very confident in their skills. And they come against you, someone who is not confident, someone who has not had this training, and they see that look. We saw that look this weekend with a few men. That look says all. It helps the bad guy plan on what he can do, what he can get away with. Now, the thing that I tell people who have 1,000 what if questions is that situation dictates means if you ask me a what if question, well, Doug, what if he kind of listens and he kind of doesn't? Well, then what are you doing? Are you kind of serious or not serious and kind of scared? You have to take this thought in your mind, especially as a Christian, that I could potentially harm somebody or take someone's life. And you have to put that in the back of your mind. And you have to bring forth something that many of you don't have, which is a level of aggression that must match or overwhelm the person who's in front of you, who is willing to use their level of aggression to overwhelm you. You have to match that or make yours greater than. I hope that you get the chance to do that in training and not in real life. Some of you have had to apply this in real life now. How did it go for you? Give us your honest opinion. If you ever question that getting trained is foolish, silly, waste of time, waste of money, put it in the comment section. Let's answer that question. Better yet, come out to the training. Let us show you the hubris in that thought, that planning and hoping that everything just goes well. This next training venue, we are going to spend a lot of time outside. We are going to the gun range. We are going to be shooting. We are going to be patrolling daytime, nighttime, spare time. We're going to be in the CQB house, or what we have dubbed Uncle Charlie's house. We are going to do quite a few missions that I'm not going to talk about here because I want you to be surprised. But things that, should the lights go out in America, should all hell break loose, you can at least lean back on this understanding and say, oh, I've been here before. I've been exposed to this situation before. I have been trained on this situation before. Let me hit the memory recall button and use the training that I've had to put myself in the best position possible in this situation. You will only ever fall back on your last bit of training. I've got 15 years worth of training. I have a long time to fall back on it. And every time we put on one of these training venues, I remember a little bit more. My skills get dusted off a little bit more. We had guys who have never been to training this weekend show up and are already planning on how to take this training home, teach their families, teach their churches. We may even get invited to help go and train a church, which is one of the things that we're always going to say yes to. If you need any type of training for your church, reach out to us. If you need training for a group of you, reach out to us. We have a mobile shoot house. As far as we know, we're some of the only guys in the country with a mobile shoot house. So we'll do our best to bring the training to you. Currently, the two best training venues are here in Texas and in Tennessee. We will be working, hopefully, with Jamie Walden to be able to put this together soon in Colorado. I know there's a lot of you from all over the place who need this, and we're going to try and bring it to you as much as possible. So with that in mind, I want to go over some news with you real quick. And by the way, like I've said, if you have any questions at all, reach out to us. Reach out to us. If we can't help you, we will try to point you in the right direction. All right. If you need a gear assessment, which everybody had this weekend, everybody has had in every course, come and see the gear that we wear. Come and see how we wear it. Come and see how we use it, why we have it, how our helmets are set up, our belts are set up, our pistol belts, our vests are set up. What clothing do we wear? There's a reason why we wear what we wear and we use what we use, because we've used it in the field and it works. You'll see how to use your night vision in a way that you may not have ever used it before. You'll learn how to work in teams. You'll learn how to use your voice in a commanding way to put people into a position of disadvantage, placing yourself into a position of advantage, which is where we always want to be. Real quick, from the website, The Intel Drop, Hamas fighters conducted joint training with fighters from the Ukrainian battalion Azov. Investigative journalist Yusuf Awad sent us his investigation. One of his informants gave him a mobile phone that allegedly belonged to a Hamas fighter by the name or a call sign of Ahmed. The most interesting is the correspondence between the phone owner and a certain Nazar, presumably who is an Azov battalion fighter. The conversation lasted from late July to mid-August of 2023. I'm going to read to you what this conversation said. August of 2023. Hi, Ahmed. Your guys have done well on today's drone training. Good job. Thank you. We know it is essential in modern warfare. This is Ahmed speaking. There's no way we can win without it. I wish we had more time for these trainings. Funny, the bad guys are going to other bad guys for training. Are you going to any good guys for training? That's your decision. Sadly, this is Nazar, the Azov battalion guy. Sadly, we're running short on time. More practice would be great, but we can't afford it. Officer meeting at 9 p.m. We need you to come to discuss tomorrow's training schedule. Got it. We'll be there on time. August 5th. Your present has arrived. Send a couple of your guys to the storage building to help us unload this truck. Great news. We'll be there in 5 minutes. Is it all there? No, just have 3 boxes. The rest will be delivered next week. Okay. August 7th. Good morning, Nazar, whatever the hell his name is. Just had a phone call with Ali. He's flying to Makachalaka, however you pronounce that freaking word. He's flying to wherever today, ready to start as soon as he arrives. Must be flying somewhere to Ukraine. Perfect. This is Nazir. We need to make sure the priors, the pedors, I guess, are forced to fight on as many fronts as possible. This is Ahmed saying, the Zionists must be destroyed in every corner of this world. Ali said it will take 3 to 4 months to activate the cells, which are terrorist cells, and complete all preparations. So you should expect surprises by the end of this year. This conversation turns a little bit darker here quickly. This is Ali on August 8th. Ahmed on August 8th. He said, I've been thinking a lot about our training. The experience you shared with us is priceless, but we obviously need more. Is it possible for you to send your trainers to Gaza or arrange such training somewhere in the Middle East? Nazar says, hi, Ahmed. I'll discuss it with the commanders, but I really doubt it is possible. You know the conditions we're in now. We need every soldier and every fighter to keep fighting. Ahmed says, I understand. Hope our actions help you win. The Zionists definitely don't expect chemical attacks. It would be a great advantage if we play it right. Chemical attacks. There have been no chemical attacks yet. I guess that's coming. Nazar, the Azov Battalion guy, says, really hope so. Our only concern is a possibility of evidence pointing at us. Ahmed says, we will make sure all serial numbers and marks are erased on every shell before we use them. Nazir says, our Western partners won't be happy if they find out their aid was used against Israelis. Ahmed says, curse be upon them. Of course, we'll take all necessary precautions. And Nazar gives a thumbs up emoji. Then, on August 10th, some conversation happens and with Ahmed. And then Nazar says, I'm glad we stand together in our struggle against Zionism. Hope your part of the agreement won't fail. Ahmed says, our best people are working on it. Caucasus jihad is imminent now. Send my regards to Kalina. His efforts made it all possible. So, obviously, the Azov Battalion, which is the neo-Nazi battalion of the Ukrainians, is working with the Palestinians. If this all be true, which I would say that it is, based off what I've read. And they're willfully using our weapons against the Israelis. What won't they do? What chemical attacks are they being prepared for? Let's look at the daily sit rep real quick from the Ford Observer. Washington, D.C. deploys National Guard ahead of major rally. The D.C. National Guard is mobilizing in support of police as the city braces for disruption between pro-Israel and pro-Hamas factions. The March for Israel, backed by the Jewish Federations of North America, has requested a permit for up to 60,000 attendees, but some groups expect over 100,000 to show up. The Department of Homeland Security has classified the rally as a level one, which is the agency's highest risk designation. Level one is like what was going on in 2020 with Portland. While there are no specific threats, officials are urging vigilance. Why does it matter? We've not seen any major effort to organize a counter-protest, but judging by previous large-scale pro-Palestinian rallies in Washington, D.C., counter-protesters could make a sizable appearance. Johnson pulls for Democratic support on CR today. The House is expected to vote on Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican for Louisiana's, laddered continuing resolution today under a suspension of the rules procedure, requiring a two-thirds majority of the House to approve. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat from New York, said he has not decided if the Democratic caucus will vote for or against the continuing resolution, and that they would discuss a path forward ahead of the vote today. Why it matters. Johnson is leaning on Democratic support to pass his stopgap by using the suspension of the rules procedure and could be setting up his own ouster from the speakership in a repeat of McCarthy's removal in October. House Democrats have remained neutral so far, and the White House said last night it will now wait and see instead of threatening a veto. House votes down Mayorkas' impeachment. The House voted 209 to 201, including five Republicans yesterday, to refer Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene's articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas to attend the Homeland Security Committee. That guy should have been fired a long, long time ago. That's my old boss, Mayorkas. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that Mayorkas has failed to maintain operational control of the border and said voters would hold accountable Republicans who voted to refer the impeachment to the committee. Why it matters. The House is focused on approaching shutdown deadline on the 17th of November, this Friday, and Republican leadership likely wants to avoid scuttling a potential deal with Democrats on the continuing resolution hitting the floor today. Oh, man, you guys. Our Republican Party, once again, stabbing us all in the back. Recession likely by mid-2024. Jeffrey Gundlach, founder and CEO of Double Line Capital, predicts that the United States economy will be in recession by the second quarter of 2024, and rising rates and deficits will further hurt the economy. Quote, we have a lot of major indicators that have been in recessionary signaling for a year plus, says Gundlach. About $17 trillion of them are bonds come due over the next 36 months. So that means if we keep interest rates higher, that yield, the sort of 1% to 2%, are going to be reissued at a 300 basis points or more higher interest rates. And on $17 trillion, that's another $500 billion in interest expenses. Let's just say that the house of cards are all crumbling down. The economy is failing. Our military is failing. Our government has failed. Our border has failed. We're attempting war on multiple fronts, and China hasn't really even began to bring the dragon out yet. This is not looking good for us. So what I would implore you all is to train, prepare, and pray. All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.